I was editing a book with my spiritual guide, Ramesh. It was called One in the Mirror, which was just short quotations or short passages independent of each other. So there was one which really appealed to me, which he must have found somewhere in some book. Here is an interesting riddle, the correct answer of which was provided by 80% of kindergarten school children. And by only 17% of university graduates. What is it that is greater than God and more evil than the devil, which the poor have and the rich do not need, and which will kill you if you eat it? What is it that is greater than God and more evil than the devil, which the poor have and the rich do not need, and which will kill you? If you eat it, the answer is nothing. For the child, he would have probably stopped as at what is greater than God. But we, with our thinking minds, start going into a loop which will kill you if you eat it. What does it point to? On the subject of eating, I'll tell you another anecdote. There was a king, Bhartharinath. He was a disciple of Gorakshnath. So one day, the leading ascetic of his kingdom came to him with the fruit of immortality. And he said, "All my tapasya, all my spiritual merit is in this fruit which I am presenting to you as my king." Now the king, he had such tremendous love for his wife that he said, "I won't eat it, I will present it to my wife." And the wife was in love with the chief police officer of the state. So he said, she said, "I will present it to him." And he was in love with a maid of honor in her chambers. So he said, "I will present it to her." And she was in love with the king. So she said, "I'll present it to the king." And with this incident, he gave up his kingdom and said, "I renounce the world because what goes around comes around. I have seen the futility of it all." This is one of the legends associated with him. This is the Maya. And nothing is a very potent place which for most of our lives we are running away from it. But as life goes on, as you clock more and more years, you realize that life is sometimes pleasure and sometimes pain. And earlier you were always pursuing pleasures and running away from pains. And now you get tired of this game. Because you realize that life will never be only pleasures. This is the natural course of evolution. So, when you see that you are hankering and less after experiences, because you have understood that experiences are fleeting, experiences come and go, what you used to derive pleasure from earlier no longer excites you, because true happiness is not to be found there. And sometimes you may wonder, what is happening to me? I'm not enjoying doing the things I used to enjoy doing earlier. Because deep down, you know that it's a tiresome game. Deep down, you have the understanding that perhaps why not be happy with just being? Why not be content with just being? The realization comes that to keep oneself busy all the time means to keep the mind busy all the time. Because we are too afraid of who we are when the thinking mind is not operating. And it is all set up for experiences. The whole structure of the waking state is set up to bombard you with experiences till you realize that the beingness, which was the ground of your experiences, is your true seat, and it can get very shaky for many people because what you treasured, what you valued, certain relationships, you realize, you analyze, why am I in this relationship? It could even be a friend. You see, is there need being derived from the relationship? Is there self-image? Is there something I need which makes me hanker after certain relationships with certain people? And not with others. Why not? If everything is one, where's the differentiation? Siddharameshwar Maharaj said that when I put a mirror in front of your face, you know very clearly that that in the mirror is not you, and you are one, you are here. Why do you need the mirror to be put in front of you to understand that? Because the truth is there without the mirror. That conviction which you have, that that which is in the mirror is not you, does not depend on the existence of the mirror. But yet we see ourselves separate from the world. It's so hard to understand that the same consciousness is functioning through everyone. So hard to understand that if we were not conscious, we would not see what we are seeing. So if everything is in consciousness and not consciousness is in everything, that is your own reality. But it gets covered in the waking state by the ego with its sense of doership and the games we start playing with people and with ourselves. If that conviction was there that the same consciousness functions through the other, which functions through me, hate dissolves. Who will hate whom? Who will judge whom? Imagine two characters in a painting judging each other, thinking that they have created the other in a sense. He did this to me. Your whole approach shifts very dramatically. The attitude changes. And if your attitude to relationships with others and yourself goes through this transformation back to its original seat, that delivers peace. Because the more and more you accept people and you accept yourself, you are accepting God's will. And when you accept that this is the will of the divine knows best what it is up to. We may not like it. There is no contract we have signed where God is going to give us a certain number of pleasures in life. But when you accept that even this lot of pain is God's will, a deep peace comes with that. Because the blame game is not played. I don't know whether it was Lord Rama or which, where I have read this, but someone asked him that, how can you differentiate between those who love you and your enemies? And he said, I certainly can't, but I love my enemies more than those who love me. So he was asked, why? He said, because my devotees think of me now and then, but my enemies think of me all the time. So you start abiding in being. The cartwheels which the mind used to be going on and on about, suddenly you'll realize after some time that that thought process does not exist anymore. That space is freed up. The space which the thinking mind had obsessively occupied and made these wheels within wheels start turning, that's stopping. It's falling apart. That constant need for engagement is falling apart. Because your own experience is the screen of consciousness of what is where this whole drama is playing out. And that is where Maharaj says there you then sense a very subtle separation between what is going on in your life and the screen on which it is going down, which is witnessing. You become a witness more and more to the goings on in your life. And that is a beautiful gift. Because then the doors of your mind are wide open, they have been blown apart, so that the light of being shines through. I met someone who's ailing now, who was very successful in his career, reached the top. And he told me, he said, I was so enmeshed in this concept that I am so great and I have achieved so much in such a short span of time. He said, I started telling people, you know, look what hard work can do, look what determination can do, look at me, what I've made of my life. And he's down with a terminal illness at the peak of his career. And he said, I have been hit so hard. And now I have realized it has taken me this to realize that even what I thought was my hard work, my determination, if the universe... He said, I now realize the universe did so much to support me, to take me to where I reached. So many coincidences, so many events, so many people. Without that, where is my hard work? Where is my determination? But it has taken this to realize that God has taken this all away at the peak of my career. So there was no resentment, because the realization did happen even though it took this event, that now I have understood that whatever I thought I did, I didn't. God gifted me with the set of attributes. God gifted me with the skill sets to reach that position. It appeared that I developed those skill sets, which brings about humility. I met someone at the health club I go to. He's in his 60s. I don't know him well at all, but one day we were in the changing room and he said, "Can I confide in you something?" I said, "Sure." He said about 5 years ago, he said something very strange started happening. I found myself in two places at the same time. So he said, "I thought I was hallucinating. So what I would do is, if I would go to my hotel," he runs a big hotel, "and I meet someone, I would start writing down in a diary, 4 p.m. I have done this, 5 p.m. I have done this." And in the same diary which he started carrying, someone would say, "Hey, it was great meeting you over a cup of tea at 4 p.m. And he would see, but in his diary, he was in his hotel. So he said, "Wow, this is something special. I'm able to be at two places at the same time." And he said he was enjoying it so much, but after a week, it went. He said, "And I realized how easy it is to get caught up in all this. God brought it to me and God took it away. And I'm back to square one. So there is no meaning and no value in this." He was a disciple of Osho. What is the point of this? So when you talk of peace of mind, people feel it's too simple, you know. Why do we want to go somewhere where all that is offered is peace of mind? We want things to do. We want techniques which make us better people. Basically, it means we are second-guessing God. We know better. You haven't made your flaws. God has made them. You call them flaws. You put a label on it. If I say that you are perfect, beautiful, bright, radiant, shining light of God, very hard to believe. But when you were a baby, up till the age of 2, if I told you that I would be describing your true state. That has not gone anywhere. That is the pristine consciousness, Bal Krishna. That has not gone anywhere. What has happened is all these concepts and layers of debris and cement and concrete which we have overlaid on it, which is also not our doing. The sheer conditioning of life, but that natural, innocent beingness is right here. If you are a child of God, this is what it means. You are a child of God. This is what it means when they say love yourself. We think it is a dualistic love yourself. I should love myself. Love yourself means love yourself. Don't transact with people so that they make you feel loved. It's not needed. Love yourself till it hurts, because God has made you this way. If you feel motivated to do something to improve yourself, it must be done. It must be honored, because the feeling has come from within. But the frustration happens when we feel that we can control the outcome of that effort. I'll read you something which actually answers your query, which I read the other day. The truth is that life is an ever-going process, ever-renewing, and it is just meant to be lived but not lived for. It is something that cannot be squeezed into a self-constructed security pattern, a game of rigid control and clever manipulation. Instead, to be what I term a quality human being, one has to be transparently real and have the courage to be what he is. This is by an enlightened martial arts expert, Bruce Lee. The truth is that life is an ever-going process, ever-renewing, and it is just meant to be lived but not lived for. It is something that cannot be squeezed into a self-constructed security pattern, a game of rigid control and clever manipulation. Instead, to be what I term a quality human being, one has to be transparently real and have the courage to be what he is. It is courage to be what you are. It takes courage to know that nobody truly does anything. The easy way out is to blame and condemn, the knee-jerk reaction. It is the life courageous to understand that the same consciousness has given a set of conditionings, genetics, programming to different individuals. So no one's point of view is superior or inferior to yours. You may or may not agree with it, but when you hear someone speak tomorrow with the understanding that he is an equal expression of consciousness, his point of view is as equally important as yours, the need to tell people they are wrong drops away. The need to convince people of your point of view drops away. You state your point of view and you let it go. It's about letting go. So by all means, if something is presented and you feel drawn to it in terms of self-improvement, pursue it. Because that feeling is also not yours. You have claimed ownership of it. It is a natural arising, but the results are not in your control. And it could be anything. Even Maharaj would say that, he says, all I talk about is abide in your beingness, your I am. But that also takes earnestness. So if there is this pull of somebody who goes to him and, you know, they feel like they are drawn to it, that is their so-called effort, which they will pursue as a natural course of evolution for them. But this is an invitation to see that with proper understanding. That itself is the effortless effort. When you view your situation in life through understanding, the light of understanding which is not yours, that is also a path which is invariably discounted because there's nothing for us to do. So there is no question of being in the now, because you are the now. It is the thinking mind which takes you away from the now. So therefore you cannot do anything to be in the now, because it is the very doing which is taking you away. And with the light of understanding, what happens? Witnessing. More and more of witnessing, because that is your own reality. From the time you were born till this very moment, nothing else but witnessing has been happening. Who knew 20 years ago you went on that particular holiday? Who knew when you were a young child, your sibling told you this and so you told you that? That person has not gone anywhere. Is that a person? Your entire ground of being is witnessing. But it ended up with, this happened to me, that happened to me, I did this then, I did that then, this person did this, that person did that. So as is often said in the spiritual teachings, when you go to watch a movie, you don't lose the fact that you are watching a movie. You know it with conviction that I am watching a movie. But in life, what happened? We've forgotten. We've forgotten that this is the movie of life. Sometimes tragedies. Sometimes maybe God gives us a joyful moment, which is the movie of life. It's certainly not a happy ending for everyone. In fact, the movie of life is so painful, first of all, for more than 80% of the population being below the poverty line. And we have been gifted with the fact that we can even sit and discuss this topic. We have been gifted with deep sleep, the peace of deep sleep, which for us is the immediate proof that our absence is when we are at peace. Because nobody can quarrel with us when we are at peace. We can't quarrel with ourselves when we are sleeping. We don't judge ourselves when we are sleeping. We don't hate ourselves or others when we are sleeping. So our very absence, which is our proof, is the deepest peace for us. So that has not gone anywhere in the waking state. That is the bedrock from birth to death. That is why Siddharameshwar Maharaj says that next time someone offends you or upsets you, make the effort to understand it is only your mind that is being upset. It is not you. So what are they doing? They are driving a wedge between being and experiencing. We had gone on a holiday somewhere and, you know, I was just sitting on the beach and I realized how it is set up. Scuba diving course, $200, you'll get this. Jet skiing, this. Dolphin sighting, this, $200. Glass bottom boat fishing, so and so. experience, 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 $200, $250, $200, $300, $400. But to sit on the beach and watch the sun go down, no cost. To just be, it should be the other way around. It is geared for experiencing. And the joke is that in that experience, there's no me. The me has come later and said, I had this experience, which is the blunder which Arjuna made by telling Krishna that I don't want to kill my enemies and my preceptors. And then Krishna tells him, but you are thinking that you are killing them. He's already taken doership of the fact that I am going to kill them. And he said, but I as time have already killed them. Where have you stepped in with the sense of doership? I gifted you the genetics of a warrior. I gifted you the conditioning of a warrior. I gifted you the skill sets which made you come into a position where you can even contemplate that it is you versus this entire battlefield and only I am by your side. And now you're saying, I don't want to kill them. So the sense of doership takes one away from what is. And what is God's will. What should be is the thinking mind. No, I don't like this way. It should not be this way. It should be that way. And in terms of the mechanics of life and living, it's fine. If you don't like a situation, you evaluate it and say that, I think if this changes or that changes, or if I make this attempt, things might change. Fair enough. So you are motivated to do that. But what happens as a result of that action is not in your control. It's like one animal rights lover called me up yesterday about this, you know, this need to, you know, if he saw a dog ill on the road, you know, taking it for shelter and all that, or looking after it. So he was getting worked up that why is this such a need? I said, but it is not your need. And first of all, if you did not see that ill dog, your reaction would not have happened. You had to come across a dog on the road which was ill or hurt. You had to be gifted with the sensitivity to feel the dog's pain. And then the response was to take the dog and look after it. So why are you taking this upon yourself that do I have a need? You are doing what you could do in your capacity. So this whole thing becomes a whole seeing. Not a split seeing. What we are used to is split seeing. And then the vision becomes one of whole seeing. You see things as a whole. You see that everything is just a slice of that wholeness, which earlier we have been dissecting everything like this, you know. But with this understanding and with witnessing, it's like a pullback. And you see things in their entirety. And it becomes very relaxing. It is a very precious gift. It is so beautiful to know that you are not in charge of your universe. You do your best and what has to happen will happen. And if your best is not good enough, it is not your doing. Your best is you doing your best to the best of your ability. Who gave you that ability? God gave you that ability. So if you accept people, if you accept situations for the way they are, your own reactions to them, isn't that seeing that everything is one? Isn't that the foundation of love? A love which does not depend on how someone makes you feel. You cannot not be loved and you cannot not love. You cannot not be loved. You cannot not love. I remember years ago someone had come to me who had studied the power of now, Eckhart's teachings and books, you know, and she said for 12 years she was really pulsating with being in the now and the present moment. But what happened one day is something happened which really shook her up. She was in a relationship with someone and she said the anger which flared up and I stormed out, I banged the door shut, and she said I was so disappointed with myself that for 12 years I was in this pristine state of being in the now and it all went down the drain with that one act. Now my question was, but why is it being viewed as it all going down the drain? Did you check your hormone levels the second before you banged the door? Did you check your blood pressure? Did someone tell you something maybe half an hour ago which really upset you? could there be the possibility of some trigger which resulted in that act which may have happened before, and that act was a culmination of that trigger? Who has guaranteed that you will not react? You may try your best, but why not accept that I banged the door shut? It happened. Now you are blaming yourself. I banged the door shut. After 12 years, fall from grace. God has not asked anyone for such guarantees. Eckhart has not asked anyone for such guarantees. It happened. This is the human condition. We are human beings. It will happen. There is no state of perfection where suddenly you become a zombie. It's okay. Nobody loves you less. The person who you bang the door shut in front of me love you less. But otherwise, it's fine. It happened. Go easy on yourself. There are so many factors. If the door was not there, you would not be able to bang it shut. Who put the door there? See how much is there which is in the scheme of things which are not in your control. That's a very humbling thought. So what happens? You become easier on yourself and you become easier on others. If someone else bangs the door shut, irritation may arise, anger may arise, but deep down that spot has already been touched. That, you know, he must be going through something, she must be going through something. It's fine, ho jata hai. That is one's natural course of life and of growing up. You become more understanding. Theek hai, ho gaya, chalo, move on, let it go. Just let it go. Everything is temporary. These are small incidents in your life. Incidents will keep happening, they keep coming, they keep going. But the bedrock of your life is peace, which is already there. You don't even have to develop it. Shanti, it is there. You just have to turn the vision inwards. Nothing can take it away. So wherever in life, in your daily living, in your relationships, you feel a sense of peace, like I like going there. I like being in such company. It's a very important pointer. That is why even Shirdi Sai Baba used to say that seek out consciously the saints and sages and be in their company, because they are not giving you a temporary experience. You are feeling at peace in their presence. When Ramana Maharshi was asked, what are the signs of a true sage? He said, the degree of peace you feel in their presence and the sense of respect you feel for them. The rest is projections, self-image, self-worth. The sage is not there to give you all that. He is there to give you a taste of the self, which is the absence of everything else. That is why the masters emphasize on this point. That is what I felt when I went to my teacher for 12 years. I felt that here was someone who had a total absence of judgment. And I could see the peace which people felt there because they were not being judged. You could have done horrible things, but he had the full understanding that those who presented themselves before him were precisely the way God had made them. It is like my mother's guru, who was a judge. He had even sentenced people to the gallows, criminals. But after such sentences, he would get up and hug them. And we are always sentencing people in our lives and ourselves. As it is, we are in imprisonment from birth to death. Simple imprisonment. We all are imprisoned in these bodies. What was so vast and unnameable has got reduced to a name and form and an ego with a sense of separate identity. And then we convert that simple imprisonment to rigorous imprisonment. Keep it simple imprisonment. Enjoy doing nothing. Enjoy the nothingness with the child, how the child could answer that question. Enjoy not doing, enjoy being. Be with your cup of tea if you want. Sit quietly in a chair for 15 minutes a day and just be. Then you will be honoring the fact that you are a human being, not a human doing or a human becoming. Whole life otherwise goes by. Just doing this, running here, running there. Okay, now let's do this, let's plan this, let's do this work, let's plan that holiday, let's do this on that holiday. That is why even Maharaj in his later years, when he was asked, are you getting tired of, he used to have satsangs twice a day. He said, tired? He said, I'm even tired of sleeping and waking up.
That itself is too much to do.
He said, I want to merge with the source. And that is why he said, to do hard work is hard, but to refrain from doing hard work is even harder. Because we have been so accustomed to doing. And the baby never did anything, but the milk came to the baby. Look at that. That is why Gorakhnath says, Sahaj mila to doodh barabar, maang liya so pani. The universe's intelligence, which makes the mother's milk available to the baby without even the baby asking, that is the care the universe has taken for that child. What comes unasked is like milk, maang liya so pani. When you ask, you get water. Khinch liya so rakt barabar gorak bole bani. When you take, you get blood. That is why I had in fact read a book on a completely different subject. It was to do with decades back. I had read a book on a different kind of consciousness and beings in different realms channeling information. And the same thing struck me. One of the things they say is this: what comes unasked is what is meant for you, pleasure or pain.